Okay, welcome to Shirin Tagum Parshas Ekev. Wanted to start tonight with a Tagum Unkelos, which is one word, but gets involved in a discussion we had earlier in the year with the Rambam and the Ramban. So we'll take a look at this, and then we'll look at other things. Among other things, Parshas Ekev describes the story of the Egel. The parsha goes over, Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the story of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. And it says, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, Vayitein Hashem Elai, the Shnei Luchos Avonim, Hashem gave to me the two stone tablets, Ksuvim Be'etzba Elokim, they were written with the finger of God. And on these tablets were all the things that Hashem had spoken to you on that day when everyone came together at Maimon Har Sinai from the midst of the fire. So the Targum Unkelos translates the words Ksuvim Be'etzba Elokim, written with the finger of God, as Ksivin Be'etzba Da Hashem, which just means written with the finger of God. So you say, okay. What's that? Oh, Gevaldik. Okay. So right off the bat, you say, okay. So he just translated the pasuk. So what's the big deal? But as Nate points out correctly, the Targum Unkelos we've seen tends to always translate in a way that won't ascribe human attributes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim Chelek Aleph Perek Samich Vav, who's the one who really develops this idea that when the Targum Unkelos, that the Targum Unkelos has a shita, that he has a certain approach which is consistent, that the Targum Unkelos always avoids assigning anthropomorphic descriptions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and other descriptions of God in human form. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim basically comes to this Targum Unkelos and he throws up his hands and he says, I don't really have a good explanation for this particular translation, the Targum Unkelos. It should have been Ksivin B'Memra Da Hashem. And what's the point of saying that the tablets were written with the finger of God? It doesn't mean literally. It means that God directly, whatever it means, you know, God's word directly was responsible for the engraving of the words on the tablet. So the way to say that in Aramaic would be Ksivin B'Memra Da Hashem, written with the word of God. That would have been the way to write it, to avoid describing God as having a finger. Basically, the Rambam says, I'm not really sure what to do, you know, with this particular expression. Now, we saw earlier the Ramban, back in Parshas Vayigash, writes that he disagrees with that whole approach of the Rambam. He says, you know, it's true that you often find that the Targum Unkelos uses substitute translations whenever the Torah describes God, right, whenever God is described in human terms in the Chumash. But that, says the Ramban, is not the shita of the Targum Unkelos. The Ramban, I don't claim to understand it, but the Ramban says there's some kind of Kabbalistic calculation that the Targum Unkelos has, you know, as to why he translates certain ways literally and certain words non-literally. But the Ramban points to this example as a counterexample to the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that what's motivating the Targum Unkelos is always to give non-human descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban. Okay, but what are you going to do with this? And he has other examples. What are you going to do with an example like this where, if you wanted to avoid describing Hashem in human terms, there would have been a better way to do it. You know, why is it just left, you know, Ksivin Be'etzba Da Hashem, you know, written with the finger of God, as a direct literal translation from the Hebrew? So I don't really have more to comment other than just to point out that this Marim Mokum, this particular pasuk in the Sedra, gets involved in that whole debate, you know, between the Rambam and the Ramban. Wanted to share, unrelated, a very fascinating medrash that's brought by the Targum Yonason ben Uziel on a pasuk just a little bit later on in the Chumash. So after describing how Moshe Rabbeinu has the tablets which are inscribed with the finger of God, so the Chumash goes on to describe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, descend from the mountain, you know, Shiches Amcha, your nation has committed an atrocity, right? What's your nation? So we know Rashi back in Sefer Shmos says Amcha means the Erev Rav. You know, you Moshe Rabbeinu were the one who brought the Erev Rav out of Mitzrayim. You were the one who allowed them to come with the Jewish people. They were the ones responsible for making the Egel. The Yonos Eben Uziel over here writes a little bit differently based on a Mechilta. V'amar Hashem li, Hashem said to me, Kum chus b'fri amika, get up and descend quickly from here. Arum chabilu ar chashon, because you know, they have acted badly, they have, you know, gone off the path. Who has gone off the path? Amod is karyun al shemach, the nation that is called by your name. According to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the reference, again, clearly is picking up on the word Amcha, your nation, Kishiches Amcha, right? Your nation, Moshe Rabbeinu, has sinned. You know, it's kind of like the parents, every parent knows this, right? You know, my child, he's a prodigy. Your child is misbehaving, right? You know, the minute the kid is misbehaving, he becomes the other parent's child, right? So it's almost like the Ribbono Shel Olam goes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishiches Amcha, it's your nation that's messing up. But again, here it's not that it's a reference to the Erev Rav, but the whole nation, Klal Yisrael, is called by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mechilta writes that since Moshe Rabbeinu Nosa Nafsho Al Yisrael, right, since Moshe Rabbeinu put forward his soul, he was ready to sacrifice himself, he invested himself in Klal Yisrael, Nikra Al Shemo, so Klal Yisrael is called by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So in other words, in a sense, what's that? Right, so whereas according to, you know, Rashi back in Sefer Shmos, Shiches Amcha is a little bit of a dig to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you brought the Erev Rav out of Mitzrayim. You know, so it's your responsibility for these people who went and made the Egel Azov. Here in the Yonos Ben Uziel, again, based on the Mechilta, it's almost like it's a praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're your people because you have constantly given yourself over to them. So, you know, yes, you bear responsibility in a broad sense for everything that they do, but it's to the credit of Moshe Rabbeinu that they are Amcha, that they are his people. In any case, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time to get off the mountain. Bad stuff is happening down at the bottom of the mountain. He comes, he sees the people worshipping the Egel Azov. Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'espos b'shnei aluchos v'ashlichem y'al shnei yodoy. I held on to the two luchos, I threw them down from my two hands. I broke them in front of you. And here the Yonos Eben Uziel adds, "Va'atun chamayon kad luchaya mitabrin v'asvasa parchin." You saw that the tablets were broken, and yet the letters of the tablets were miraculously flying up in the air, even after the tablets were broken. Right? The Targum Yonos Eben Uziel is fixed on the word le'einechem, in front of you. You know, v'ashabrem le'einechem, I broke them in front of you. Obviously he broke them in front of them. In other words, he came down from the mountain and he was in view of the people and he broke the luchos, so the people saw that the luchos were broken. What's le'einechem adding? So the Yonos Eben Uziel understands that le'einechem means not only did you see the breaking of the luchos, but you saw the aftermath of the breaking of the luchos. This miraculous idea that the osios, that the letters that were on top of the tablets were flying up. In other words, the tablets, the luchos, could be broken, but the Torah itself was still going to be preserved. Of course, we know, we just spoke about it in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, the other famous example of that idea, that the osios parchos, you know, that the letters are flying up, is what the Gemara says in the Kinos bring about the martyrdom of the Tana Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, who was executed by the Romans while they wrapped the Sefer Torah around him and set him and the Sefer Torah on fire. And the Gemara brings that when the Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what do you see? He said, I see that the parchment of the Sefer Torah is burning, but I see the letters flying up into the air. Meaning, here too, the Romans can try to destroy the physical Sefer Torah, but they will never be successful in destroying the essence of what the Torah is all about. Okay, so the pasuk goes on to describe how Moshe Rabbeinu davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam 40 days, 40 nights, and it says, pasuk Yutes, ki yogarti, I was afraid, says Moshe Rabbeinu, mipnei ha'af v'hachema, asher kotzav Hashem aleichem lahashmir eschem. I was afraid from the af and the chema. Af and chema are two synonyms which both mean anger. I was afraid from the anger that Hashem had gotten angry against you and was trying to destroy you. In other words, the simple pshat in the pasuk is, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he had to daven with all of his kochos, he had to daven with all of his strength, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so incredibly angry that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to do whatever he could to kind of push the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into the box, where it wouldn't be able to, Rachmanu Litzlan, overwhelm and Chalila destroy the Jewish people. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. Comes the Yonos HaMenuzia, largely based on a medrash, the medrash of the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, and he has a whole story over here. And the story goes like this. Bei Hi Zimna, at that time, in other words, after Klal Yisrael had made the Egel, Ishtauchun min kodom Hashem chameshtei malachayo mechablayo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out five destroying malachim, five angels of destruction, l'chabalo Yos Yisrael. And the intent of these malachim was to destroy Rachmanu Litzlan, the Jewish people. What were the names of these malachim? They had nice, beautiful names. Af v'chema v'ketzef u'mashchis v'charon. Right? These are all basically words in Hebrew that are synonyms for anger. Right? Mashchis means the destroying one. Right? The other four words, af, chema, ketzef, charon, are all basically synonyms for anger. Those were the names of these five, angelic malachim. Af, chema, ketzef, mashchis, v'charon. Five malachim to destroy the Jewish people. Kevon d'shama Moshe Rabbon d'Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, heard that there were five malachim on a mission of destruction, Ozal v'adkar shma Rabbo v'yakira. So he went and he mentioned the great and precious name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Which probably means something that we don't even understand, right? In other words, he said Hashem's name with certain kavanos, certain intentions, where the name was able to perform and affect miraculous supernatural things. Remember, Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu used the Shem Hashem to kill the Mitzri way back when, right? In other words, back in Mitzrayim, even before he fled Mitzrayim the first time, Vayachas HaMitzri, Vayetmeneu Bachol, how did he strike the Mitzri? So Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it, Hargo B'Shem, he used the Shem Hashem, a mystical name of God, in order to strike down the Mitzri. So this wasn't just Stam, this is somebody who knows how to use the names of God in a powerful way. So Moshe Rabbeinu utters the name of God, V'okem b'kivrahon Avram Yitzchok v'Yaakov, and he raised from the graves Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. Okay? V'komun b'tzlosa kodem Hashem, they stood in prayer before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umiyad iskaliu tlos minahon. And right away, the prayers of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were able to demolish three out of the five malachim. Right? There were five malachim. Af, chema, ketzef, mashchis, b'charon. Three out of those five were destroyed. We'll see in a moment. Though he doesn't say it right here, it's obvious from the continuation that the three malachim who were destroyed were Ketzef, Mashchis, and Chara, right? Why were they able to destroy three malachim? Presumably because they were three avos, right? Now, again, what does this mean exactly? I certainly don't claim to know, but one can speculate that, you know, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need five malachim of destruction? Presumably each one has a different approach, a different manner, you know, relates to a different fault of Klal Yisrael or a different aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So three of those aspects were able to be offset by the three avos, each of whom we know also represents a certain midah, a certain attribute, a character trait. Avram Avinu is chesed, Yitzchak is gevura, Yaakov is teferes. So again, I'm just saying words. I don't really know what I'm saying, but presumably, you know, the chesed, gevura, and teferes of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are somehow able to counteract whatever properties Ketzef, Mashchis, and Charon, you know, possess on the, you know, on the bad side, you know, of the line. Okay, so Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov take off three out of the five, but we still got Charon and Afichema to deal with. Vishtayun train, there were only two malachim left now, Afichema, right? Boy Moshe Rachamim. So Moshe Rabbeinu daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'iskeliu after arvehon, and they too, those two were destroyed, right? Again, so if Moshe Rabbeinu could knock off Af V'chema, why didn't he just knock off all of them? So again, apparently Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't stand up to all five. He needed the tefillos of the avos. The avos, however, were only able to impact on those three. Somehow, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu's koach was, he was able to knock out Af V'chema. V'chafash yach bi'ara de Moav. And Moshe Rabbeinu dug a ditch in the land of Moav, which of course is where Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to be buried. Utmarinun. And he buried Af V'chema b'shvuas shma rabba udechila. And he buried them by swearing by God's great and awesome name. In other words, how do you bury malachim to make sure they don't come back, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu had to swear in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the two malachim should be buried and should stay buried. Dehachin ksiv, and this is what the pasuk means, arum decheles min kodam rugzo v'chimsa, the regas Hashem aleichem l'meshtso yoschon, v'kabel Hashem tzlusi uf v'zimna hahu. That's what the pasuk means, concludes the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, which is very interesting. Again, usually it's a little bit of a translation. Here it's more like sounds like a Maimer Chazal, where, you know, not only is it giving us the story, but now it's saying, and this is what it means in the pasuk. Let's go back into the pasuk and read it the way the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, again, also the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer reads it. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, ki ogarti mipnei ha'afa ha'chema. I was afraid from the af and the chema. Now again, when we read that without the Yonasan ben Uziel, we said, I was just afraid of God's anger. But why does it say af and chema? In other words, those are two synonyms. They both basically mean anger. So, okay, you know, in the simple reading of the pasuk, you don't really have a good explanation for why it says, yogarti mipnei ha'af ve'ha'chema. I was afraid of the anger and the anger. But according to this explanation of the Yonasan ben Uziel, it's not anger in the abstract sense of the term, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I was afraid of these two malachi chabala, of these two malachim of destruction, named Af and Chema. So Yagarti Mipnei Ha'af Ha'Chema. I was afraid of Af, capital Aleph, and Chema, capital Ches. Asher Kotzaf Hashem Aleichem Lahashmid Eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had gotten angry enough at you, Klal Yisrael, to destroy you. And he sent Af and Chema, and I was afraid of them. And, you know, this is after the first three malachim have been destroyed. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, I had to make special efforts in order to get rid of Af and Chema. Vayishma Hashem Eilai gam bapam hahi. And Hashem listened to me also at that time. So what's the word also? Gam bapam hahi. Right? So, I mean, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare the Jewish people after the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem listened to me also then. But what was the first time? Right? So the Rashbam over here says, al derech hapshat, gam bapam ahi, Melamed shekama pa'amim mispalel aleya. You have to deduce from this pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu davened on behalf of Klal Yisrael multiple times. Because otherwise the word gam also just doesn't make sense. He also listened to me when I davened, you know, to that Klal Yisrael should be saved because of the sin of the ego. What do you mean also? What was the first time that he listened to me? So as the Rashbam says, we have to assume that there were multiple times that he davened. That's al derech hapshat. That's the simple way to read it. But the Targum Yonosam of Zeal says, Gam v'pam hahi, also at that time, meaning even after he had listened to the tefillos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to destroy the first three malachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says it's now 1-on-2, it's not a fair fight, and really I shouldn't be able to do this, to knock off af v'chema together, Gam v'pam hahi, even that time, even now that I was, you know, really the minority, fighting myself against these two malachi chabalah, also, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to me and destroyed, you know, these two malachim. What's the significance of the fact that they're buried in Eretz Moav, right? So again, I'm going to say things I'm not sure they're true, not sure they're even remotely sure they're true, but we'll speculate, you know, and if you don't like it, your money back after the end of the drasha, right? So we said that, you know, we surmised that Ketzef, Mashchis, and Charon were sort of the, you know, the destructive correspondence to whatever Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represented. Right? That's how Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with their tefillos, were able to take out Ketzef, Mashchis, and Charon. How was Moshe Rabbeinu able to take out Af and Chema? So apparently, whatever Af and Chema represent in a negative sense, Moshe Rabbeinu is the mirror image of that in a positive sense. In other words, whatever positive kochos he had were the opposite of Af v'Chema. What is the greatest demonstration of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the, you know, is sort of the mirror image of Af v'Chema, or he has those powers in a mirror image sense of Af v'Chema? They're buried in the same place. Af and Chema are buried in the land of Moav, and Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in the land of Moav. In other words, their final resting place is the same place, because in a sense, Af and Chema are, you know, just sort of the mirror image of whatever incredible kochos that that Moshe Rabbeinu himself possesses in a positive sense. So that's how he's able to counteract them. So a very, very fascinating Yonosan ben Uziel that sheds light on this pasuk.
You were saying all the words,
like,
just reminded
me of
the Pesach.
Yeah, Ever, Vazam, and Sarah, Mishlachas,
Malachi.
Right.
But he doesn't use
it. Right. So, I mean, the Pesach itself is a Pesach from Tehillim. Yishalach, Bom, Charon, Apo, Ever, Vazam, Mishlachas, Malachi, Roim. Right. So, in other words, you know, all of the Tanoim in the Haggadah bring the Pesach, just not, or two of them bring the Pesach, just not everyone darshans Charonapo, right? In other words,
no, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who doesn't use Charonapo.
Right.
Just wondering if there's a connection to the fact that they buried Charon Af.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
He doesn't use it because he
right.
buried it.
So there already, Yishalach Bam Charonapo is really referring to the Makos by the Yamsuf.
Right.
Right. So in other words, that predates this whole story with Charon Af. And there, Yishalach Bom Charon Apo is about the Mitzriyim.
So right. No, Hashem lets it go. I mean, right. Obviously, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he does.
Right. So there, Charon Af, you know, is activated against the Mitzriyim. But here, that very same Charon Af, you know, is going to turn around Rachman al-Itzlan and take out the Jewish people, which is, right. You know, what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to shield them, you know, from that terrible fate. Yeah. We'll start the next piece. We'll see how far we get with it. After describing how Moshe, again, continuing with the story, and Moshe Rabbeinu begs for forgiveness for the Chet HaEgel, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the Luchos Hashniyos, the second set of tablets, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So in Perek Yud, Pasuk Hey, we read, Vo'eifen, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I turned around, Vo'eired min ahar, I descended from the mountain, Vo'asima saluchos ba'aron asher osisi, I placed the tablets in the ark which I had made, Vayushom kasher sivani Hashem. And they remained there, you know, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded me. And then we read, Uvnei Yisrael nasu mi be'eros b'nei Yakon Mosera. Klal Yisrael traveled from Be'eros b'nei Yakon to Mosera. Shom es Aaron v'yikover shom v'yichayin Elozer b'no Tachtov. Aaron HaKohen died, and he was buried there, and his son Elozer took over after him. So the very obvious question is, we just skipped 40 years. Right? And there seems to be no thematic connection whatsoever. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu has finished the story of how, you know, he got the Luchos Hashniyos, and then Klal Yisrael traveled from place A to place B, and Aaron HaKohen died. Aaron HaKohen died the last year that they were in the Midbar. You know, so we just skipped 40 years, and what does one thing have to do with the other? So, Rashi asked this question, and Rashi brings a medrash. The Yonasan ben Uziel brings a version of the same medrash as well, a little bit slightly different than Rashi, where he says as follows. V'nei Yisrael netalu min kufrone beira b'nei Yakon l'moseira. They traveled from the Be'eros of B'nai Yakon to Mosera, Tamon Agachim Ahon Amalek. And there, Amalek fought with them. Kad Melach Ba'arod, when the Amalek was ruling in Arod, and again, this is a reference to the story in Parashas Chukas, that what the Chumash describes as the Melech HaKnani Ba'arod, the king of the Knaanim who was in Arod, which again, Chazal tell us was really from Amalek. So Amalek from Arod came and fought against the Jewish people there. Why? The Shema, the Mis Aaron, Vistaloku Anoni Yekara. Because the king of Arad heard that Aaron had died, and the Anoni Yakovod had disappeared. Umida Okas al Yisrael al Krova Hahu, Bo Lemusav Lemitzrayim. So when he fought against the Jewish people, the Jewish people said, this is it. We want to go back to Mitzrayim. Again, this is amazing. 40 years later, right? Now, 40 years later, they get attacked by the king of Arad. And they say, and they win. They win the battle, but they say we can't deal with this. We're going back to Mitzrayim. You know, it's not like you just left Mitzrayim. This is the next generation, right? Vadaru sheis matlin, and they went back. Klal Yisrael went back six encampments. In other words, they traveled backwards six, as it were, spaces on the board. You know, they went back to six places before where they had been at that point. Radafu b'nei Levi basrehon. The b'nei Levi chased after them. Uktalu minahon tamnei geneson. And they killed off eight families. V'hador l'achareyan. And they returned, you know, after they had been attacked by the b'nei Levi. How dare you go back to Mitzrayim? Af mi b'nei Levi iskatilu arba geneson. And unfortunately, in the fighting, the B'nai Levi also lost tremendous numbers. There were four families of Levi that were killed off. Amaru Dein L'Dein, they said to one another, Man Geram Lona Ketola Hada, who brought about all this killing, this civil war, Rachmana Litzlan, between Jewish people? Ela Aldis Rashlon, Aldis the Is Rashlona, Mimispedo, the Aaron Chasida. We were negligent about properly eulogizing Aaron HaKohen. In other words, had we appreciated what we had lost, so we wouldn't have suffered these tremendous losses. Ukvo tamon mispeda, kol b'nei Yisrael kilu tamon misaron. And they made, on the spot, six encampments previously, they made on the spot a hesped, a eulogy for Aaron HaKohen, and that was a kapara of sorts. It was an atonement for the fact that they hadn't been maspid Aaron HaKohen properly. So what's the commonality between this pasuk and the previous discussion with the Chet HaEgel? it shows the readiness of Bnei Levi to stand up for what's right, even at tremendous cost to themselves. What, you know, by the Chet HaEgel, the Bnei Levi didn't pay attention to the fact that they might have been killing family members who were non-Levim when they fought against those who would bow down to the Egel Azov. And here it was even worse in a sense, because the Bnei Levi sustained themselves tremendous losses in trying to hold back Klal Yisrael from doing that which was wrong. Going back to Mitzrayim would have undone everything at that stage in the game had they gone back to Mitzrayim. That's the common denominator. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bring out the greatness of the Bnei Levi. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Lefikach Hirbalohem Toro Mitzvos, Shenemar, Adonai Chofetz,